You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
All right, welcome to the Belief in the Magic podcast, as presented by LastWordOnSports.com, where you get the last word.
My name is Christian Holmes, and my co-host's name is...
Oscar Elliott. We're here with you. Finally, we're back at it.
Finally.
Last time we recorded, it would have been before the Leafs lost in Game 7.
Ah, bad memories already. Third period again.
No, but it's all good now because we made some big free agent signings. We got Josh Jurus and Jordan Subban, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm. It's all good.
I think there was maybe one more that we signed.
Oh, yeah, one more. God. Who could that be? Some John guy?
Pull up cap friendly. Oh, John Tavares.
John Tavares. My goodness.
Yep, signed for 7 years, $11 million per. Holy crap.
That's not a bad deal, eh?
Yeah, like he could have gotten up to $13 million, it was reported, from San Jose.
Yeah, and not to mention it wouldn't been taxed that much. You know, he would have been living in a nice, I think it's Silicon Valley that he could have lived in. That's the right area.
I forget who it was on The Athletic, but they put out an article recently that it wasn't actually that big of a tax difference in the end between San Jose and Toronto, but it's just like, yeah, you'd be living at the beach. You'd still be competitive. You'd be getting paid more money.
Yeah, definitely.
He just wanted to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if it was about the money, he'd go to San Jose, where he'd be getting $13 million per year, or stayed in New York, where he could have gotten that eighth year.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't. He came home, and my goodness, am I a happy camper.
Yeah, I am so excited, and yeah, I don't know what to say. The lines are going to be gross.
Oh my goodness. Like, think about your top three centers. You got Tavares, Matthews, and Kadri. Like, honestly, who could compete with that? Like, I think maybe Pittsburgh could with Crosby.
I think Crosby and Malkin still maybe outdo the top two at the Leafs. But yeah. Kadri outdoes Brassard.
Yeah.
And whoever the Leafs fourth line center will be is going to get outdone by Riley Sheahan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say that. But I still
think... They're the only team that...
I'm scared of.
Possibly Edmonton, just because McDavid, it just carries it so hard.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think Edmonton's actually going to do anything next season, to be honest with you. Maybe make the playoffs.
It's because they have no wingers.
Yeah, I agree.
They trade away any wingers, and now they're talking about the possibility that Jesse Puljujärvi is getting traded.
I don't understand that, to be honest with you. You don't want to trade a guy like that.
All right, we need young, fast, cheap wingers to play with Connor McDavid. Let's trade away Jesse Puljujärvi.
It doesn't make sense. Unless you can get two or three of those in return, which I don't think you'll get.
Call up New Jersey, see if they'll do a Taylor Hall for Adam Larson trade.
Hey, well, I know what that answer is going to be. Like, hell no, see you later, have a good day. Thank you for the transaction. Oh, well. You know what, though? All that matters is that Toronto's doing well, Edmonton. Like, I like them, I want them to do well, but I honestly don't care anymore. Because it just seems like Chiarelli manages to do more harm than he does good.
Yeah, it went from back in summer of 2016 to him setting the market value on wingers to now it's just like, don't pay attention to what Chiarelli does.
Exactly. And it's just kind of upsetting because Edmonton had such a good future ahead of them. It just seemed like that. And they still do, mind you, when you got the best, one of the best players in hockey. So
yeah, like, that's not to take away from McDavid or Draisaitl or Puljujarvi or Evan Bouchard now for them.
I'm excited Darnell to Nurse. See what he becomes.
They're still, they still got some good pieces there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They just need to, I think maybe it might be time for a change in general manager, but hey. At least
well, apparently.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
They released that statement that he's not getting, that Chiarelli will remain with the team this year, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good for them. Same with, yeah.
Not good at all. Hey, they wish they could have Kyle do this right now. That's one thing for sure.
Well, two of my bottom five GMs coming out of this year are not returning to their teams as GM. Garth Snow was one of them, and then Chuck Fletcher was the other.
Mm-hmm.
I just really didn't like any move Chuck Fletcher made, except maybe the Nino Niederreiter move.
That was a smart one.
Yeah, but like we're talking about the guy that traded away Brent Burns.
Yeah.
He did the Tyler Ennis for Marco Scandella trade.
Don't like that one.
Which I criticize from the start, and then Ennis getting bought out just proves it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think letting go of him was the right move. And then Bergevin, Chiarelli, and Dale Talon are the remaining three.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think you're going to see Bergevin gone for any time soon. Like, that Domi for Galchenyuk trade made me laugh, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, I love Max Domi. I have a London Knights jersey of him hanging up in my closet right beside me. Like, I am one of his biggest fans. Mm-hmm. I question that trade a lot.
If it was Max Domi and maybe, like, a first round or a second rounder, that wouldn't have been a bad trade.
Yeah, if it wasn't one for one, like, if they got a second with that, I would, like, be like, all right, that makes sense. But it's not like they're getting a whole lot younger either. It's less than a year difference between them.
That's true. It's more like maybe Galchenyuk just didn't want to be there.
Well, I think they just didn't want Galchenyuk there.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of sad.
But enough talking about sad things again and with the Montreal Canadiens.
Let's be happy.
Yeah. And some of the lineups that Mike Babcock was talking about was Marner with Tavares.
I like that.
Splitting up Hyman and Matthews.
I like that idea. You know what? Because, like, I could see Hyman playing with Tavares, and then you had the Marner on the right wing, and then you have a guy pardon me?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, like, my top line would be, like, Hyman, Tavares, and Marner. And you have, like, a guy that can go out and get the puck, play the, like, be physical, Zach Hyman. A guy like John Tavares that can be a really good playmaker and could, you know, score some goals himself. And you get a guy that, like, Mitch Marner, that's a really good playmaker.
Feed Tavares.
Yeah. And then just feed Tavares, and then it's vice versa. Who's ever in a better position, they feed each other.
I think it's smart to put Hyman on that line, because I feel like Matthews doesn't need the defensive stability of Hyman as much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say Tavares is defensively a liability.
No, he's not.
But Matthews is very good defensively and just might not need that as much. Mm-hmm. And Andreas Janssen maybe gives him a little bit more finish to play with.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
That said, we also haven't seen too much of Janssen in the NHL. So who knows? Like, could still not have the finish that you want for a guy playing with Matthews. But you know what? He always has Nylander with him.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, I'm interested to see how that line shapes out as well. And then you got to remember, we still have a guy like Patrick Marleau, where...
Yeah.
Would you... Like, I had some people say to me that they like to see Marleau play with Tavares and Marner. Would you like to see that line, or...?
Maybe on the power play. But on the, on 5-on-5 or even strength, I think what Babcock is suggesting is really good. The only, regret I have about that is splitting up the Marleau, Kadri, Marner line, which was so good, last year.
I think you're right on that. It's kind of crafty that that's going to happen. It could not happen, too.
Yeah, like, if the lines Babcock is suggesting don't work out or he doesn't like them for some reason, my guess is he'd put that line back together, or at very least put Marner and Kadri back together.
I could see that, definitely. Because, like, think about it, though. The combinations you could have in the top nine are really, like, honestly, they're breathtaking. Like, it seems, it's like, in a way, you can't really go wrong. But then you think, oh, yeah, there strategically, there are ways you can go wrong. And then there's ways that you can go right. It's just, it's a really, really fortunate situation.
Yeah.
Like, wherever you put Heinen, he's going to be, I think he's going to be valuable to any line that he's on. He could very well be a third liner. But then again, I want Janssen to be in the top, at least the top nine. But I can understand if he's, like, on the fourth line. But it all depends.
I think maybe Connor Brown becomes expendable then.
Yes.
Because he's a little bit of a waste on the fourth line. And you know what? If you send him in a package to upgrade D slightly, like, not even to get the number one defense, because that's going to take a lot more than just...
Brown.
Lots of pieces. You need a bigger name in there. And I do not think Dubas is willing to deal... Nylander or Marner. He made that very clear in his what's allegedly said in his meeting with Tavares. It's like, we're gonna keep this young group together for you. We're gonna be competitive for a long time, and good teams find a way to keep their good players. Yeah, like, look at the Penguins. They've kept Crosby and Malkin for so long. They have Kessel locked up. That's three Olympians right there.
Yeah.
And if the Leafs have one extra player there that they have to keep locked up, so be it. They're not... Marner and Nylander aren't going to make anywhere near what, like, Malkin makes.
Yeah, for sure.
Nylander, his contract is up right now, so it's not like he can... prove himself any further than what he already has.
Yeah, that's...
And what he has proven is a comparable to Nikolaj Ehlers or David Pastrnak, who make between 6 and 6.6.
Which that is, like, to me, I think that's a fair deal for him. Like, I could see him asking for 7.5 million or something like that, but I don't really think he has that value. Like, he's a great player, but I don't think he has that value yet.
Yeah, he will. Like, it would be in Nylander's best interest to do a bridge contract. It would be in the Leafs' best interest to lock him up as long as possible.
Yeah. Like, personally... go ahead, sorry.
Nylander had numbers... lower than David Pastrnak's contract year. And which he had 34 goals, 36 assists for 70 points in 75 games in his contract year, I believe. Nylander, and then he made 6.67 times six.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say like he deserves to make less than Pastrnak because he had lower numbers, or you could look at it as he deserves to make a lower percentage of the cap hit, which would equate to more money, but same style of contract.
Yeah.
And that's what I think his agent will go for, is the percentage of the cap hit rather than the actual money.
Mm-hmm.
And that would still have him making seven even if he got the same percent as Pastrnak, which Pastrnak had a better year going into contract year.
Yeah, and that's actually pretty comparable. But I don't know. I think he's going to get a nice percentage of whatever the cap is. But the only issue I just see is that they're going to want to go as cheap as possible, because after that, like next year, you got Marner and then you got Matthews. Matthews isn't going to come cheap. Marner, he's going to want his money. And if, like, Lord knows, if he goes out and has an amazing season with John Tavares, well, he could ask for a lot of money. That's where it gets complicated.
Tavares signing that contract kind of puts a cap on what Matthews can ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not going to make more than John Tavares. He might make the same, but he's not going to make more.
I'm with you on that. Like, personally, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah, I'll go ahead. Just for the listeners, like, we're talking, like, over... you could say a Facebook call, so like it's kind of delayed, so like we hear each other, but then like we don't hear each other till the last second, so that's why, you know, we're saying sorry all the time. That's how you can tell we're Canadian, by the way. We're sorry, you know. Anyhow, yeah. what I'm thinking is like Austin Matthews gets $10 million a year, signs an 8-year deal. And then somehow Dubas finds a way to get maybe $500,000 to maybe, I don't know, $1.75 million off the cap somehow. Like using some CDA stuff that, you know, just digging down deep. And then that opens up a little bit more money to go out and give to a guy like Nylander or Marner.
Yeah, like, and they also have a lot of guys coming off the books in 2019-2020 as well.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is, depending on what this season holds for him, Josh Levo is not coming back.
I agree.
Unless he gets played.
Mm-hmm.
Hainsey is not coming back.
Probably not.
That is $3 million off the cap there.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Gardiner is a huge if for the Leafs right now. I would love to have him back.
Same here.
Depending on the price.
Yeah. I don't want him getting like Calvin DeHaan type money. I don't think he's worth that. And Calvin DeHaan got like $4.5 million per season in his contract that he signed yesterday.
Oh, I think Gardner will make more than Calvin DeHaan.
I don't know.
I think if he's keeping it around the $5 million range, like 5.5 range, I think that is a more than fair deal for a 50-point defenseman.
I guess that's true. There's a lot of downside on him, though, like when it comes to his defense. And I think, like, as a general manager, like a couch general manager, you could call me. I'd look at it and be like, I don't know. Like, you're a good defenseman, but you screw up big time defensively sometimes. And, you know, I think 4.5 would be the best contract you could get, but give you some term where, like, maybe you could go out on the open market and get overpaid, but you're going to play on a team that more than likely doesn't have a shot at doing anything. Where, like, if you stay here, take a bit of a cap, like a decrease in cap from what you could get in the open market, we could give you the chance to become the Stanley Cup champion. And maybe a year or two after you become one, we let you hit the open market and you can go and get your money. But then again, his age comes into play too. And then I could see him leaving and I could see him staying.
Yeah, because he is like an analytic poster boy. Mm-hmm. Like, people love him. I'm not actually too sure on all the stats, but that's just what I have heard. So if that's the case, Dubas would love him and want to keep him, is my mm-hmm. guess.
Yeah, and I think Dubas is going to try hard to keep them. Especially, if this cap hit goes up just a little bit, like you said, there's a lot of people coming off the books, 2019-2020. So, it's easier to afford. But at the same time, I don't want to give him too much money where you got to get rid of the, let's say, a guy like Zach Hyman, which I kind of like where he fits in right now. And, stuff like that. But I think, at the end of the day, I think he's going to stay. I don't think he's going. It's just going to be a tough negotiation process.
And it all depends after they re-sign Matthews, Marner, and Kapanen. I think those three you sign first, then talk to Jake.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Or at very least sign Matthews and Marner first. Mm-hmm. Kapanen can wait because he is an RFA.
Yeah.
The only concern with him would be getting offer sheeted. So he's slightly higher than you would have wanted. So yeah, that's the only reason I see for locking Kapanen up quickly before Jake Gardner.
Yeah, I can understand that. And also, if Jake feels like he can win in Toronto, I think he'd wait to get his contract offer. Because I think he might, like, let's say he goes out and has a really good season next year, and he shows that he can play well defensively. And he had, if the Leafs make it to the playoffs, because I'm not going to go ahead and say they will, although
I will. They're going to make the playoffs.
I just have bad karma saying that for some reason. I don't want to jinx anything. That's like,
I'll say it.
Okay. Smart idea, Oscar. Smart idea. But I think if he goes out, has a really good season, does well in the playoffs, I don't think it's a question of if we sign him, it's more how long do we sign him, and he'll probably get his number. But right now, if I were to go into a negotiation with him, I'd say 4.5 a year and really push that. And then maybe you get lucky and he takes that deal.
I think if you go to Jake with 4.5, I think he walks.
Yeah, you never know. But then again, it gets tougher, right? It shows that you're not going to budge straight away. And then maybe...
But under that pretense, you want Jake Gardner is worth the same to the Leafs as Nikita Zaitsev?
That's a good question. Yeah. I didn't really think Nikita was worth his contract when he got it, but
I think the price was fair. I think the term was not.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Also, he just had such a bad season last year.
Mm-hmm.
If he bounces back, it won't look as bad. Yeah. And if you really want to, you could probably move that after a bounce back year. Mm-hmm. If Dubas doesn't have a lot of faith, that would free up either $4.5 million or you'd get an adequate defenseman back.
That's true. And I think he'll do well next year. I don't think he's going to do that. I just think, this was one of those years where a sophomore year can always hurt you. That's why I was kind of happy to see guys like Marner and...
Or, like... as long as he's not playing 8 minutes on the penalty kill a night again.
Yeah, that's true. That's way too much for a guy like him.
And like, Marner did have a slump there for a while. Like,
yeah,
he was.
But he bounced back afterwards.
Oh, as soon as the lineups changed, he bounced back.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. And it showed why he's so valuable to this team. Like, moving forward. Because, like, once he's going, he's going.
Yeah, like, that period in, I think, maybe February after the lead, because January was, they were losing a lot in January. Mm-hmm. Then Babcock finally shuffles up the lines after, I think that was his plan the entire time. People were getting really mad there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still a young team, they gotta learn. And I think that was his whole point. They had a huge cushion on the playoffs at that point. But as soon as he shuffled them, so it was Kadri with Marner. Mm-hmm. I think he was scoring at a 50-goal pace or something for the month of February and a bit into March.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Something like that. He was doing well, I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, and that was scoring at a 50-goal pace in like a month and a half. For a guy that isn't paid to score. He's supposed to score some, but like
he's a playmaker.
His whole thing is, yeah, setting guys up.
Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show how much that benefited him. But he learned a lot too, as you were kind of alluding to, because like, you know, it's a growing pain. And he's got a lot of talent, you know. He played it right. He learned, and he was positive throughout the whole thing. He got on a roll, and then he just got his confidence back, and he didn't really go back on that slump again.
Yeah, and I feel like he can be better defensively than he was, because he got stuck with Bozak and JVR for quite a long time, and that is not the line you want to be on if you want to learn defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in London, yeah, he was always on the penalty kill in London. He was their go-to guy for everything, like power play, penalty kill, even strength, his last year in London there. So I think he can be better than he is defensively.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But it's all learning, right? He's only got 2 years in the league. His third year will be a year where he'll probably progress and, you know, and he's got some good mentors in the team now, and, you know, he'll learn.
Yeah.
Hopefully Jake Gardner follows suit. I think a lot of people are just still a little upset about what Jake Gardner did in game 7, so, not my favorite thing.
So, there's been some rumors going on that Nylander is going to get offer sheeted. A lot of people just casually think the Islanders would, but it's actually not possible for the Islanders to, unless they're offer sheeting him for less than $1.3 million mm-hmm. or more than $10 million.
Neither's gonna happen.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
They need to have their first, their second, and their third mm-hmm. to offer sheet him in the price range that you'd assume Nylander to go. And they traded away their second and third. I can't remember where they traded their second. I think it was to Detroit for someone. But their third, they traded in the Brendan Davidson trade with Edmonton. Mm-hmm. So unless they were to reacquire those picks quickly, they will not be able to offer sheet him.
Mm-hmm. And that's very true. And it just sounds so petty, because it's more of like Elliot Friedman just kind of said it during their three agent frenzy thing, and people.
He didn't even say Nylander, though. He said expect them to overshoot someone on the Leafs.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, people from New York just kind of started blowing that up. And the next thing you know, you get all these rumors where it could happen maybe a year or two from now if he's an RFA, which he won't be. But I can't see that happening. Like, it's, like you said, impossible unless they offer him $10
million. And the only other RFA that they would offer sheet would be Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
That would be under 1.3, which is reasonable for a one-year deal for him. But anything under 1.3, the Leafs are matching.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't even think that would be a question. And like I said before, I think it's more so speculation than it is anything else. And I can understand that after a team just lost their franchise player for practically nothing. Nothing.
For exactly nothing.
Exactly. Well, maybe Leo Komarov. Well,
they got Leo Komarov, Matt Martin for Tavares, and that ECHL goalie.
Yeah. And, like, Martin was more of, like, a cash dump than anything else. Although it's not a lot, but every little bit.
And they're going into what seems to be a rebuild now. They've got really good pieces to be in a rebuild phase.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. So they have Barzal, obviously, in the NHL. They have... Well, they also have Josh Hosang still. He's still a maybe, but I think he deserves to be in the NHL at this point in his career.
I'm with you on that.
They just drafted Dobson and Wahlstrom, which were fantastic picks for them.
I agree.
They have Kiefer Bellows coming up. He has a wicked shot, as we saw in the World Juniors this past year.
Yes, he does have a wicked shot.
Yeah, I think the Islanders are in a good place to be in a rebuild if this had to happen. Yeah, they'll be fine. They need to get some maybe defensive prospects after Dobson. Although they also drafted Bode Wild, which was a good pick. Anthony Beauvillier is he's looking pretty good for them.
Yeah.
This past year, he had 21 goals this year in 71 games. So, like, he's doing quite well. Yeah. So they're in a fine spot. Islanders fans, it sucks. I get it. Don't burn your jerseys for it, but I get it. They're in a good spot anyways. Could be a blessing in disguise to force them to rebuild. But in a rebuild, what you look for is character guys to fill out your lineup along with the young guys. That's what they're getting in Matt Martin and Leo Komarov. Yeah, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think give them 4 or 5 years, they could be playing the Leafs in the playoffs.
Yeah, like, if they get out of that weird middle territory that they were in for so long, and get some good draft picks, like, doesn't even need to be top five. Like, top 10, they'll do well with.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, look at Toronto. Like, they did some pretty good drafting, like, from, I would say, 2013, 2014 on. And it's turned out...
Not 2013. Not a good draft.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that's right. My bad. I'm just doing this all off of memory.
Yeah. Freddie Gauthier.
Freddie Gauthier. I like him. I like him. But...
You don't draft guys in the first round to be for their ceiling to be a third or fourth line center.
Yeah, it's true. You want a guy that can actually be in the top six. Oh, well. You never know. Stupid mistakes. That's why I talked to Dan Deeker about drafting. He's not like Deeker from, like, the Muppets, where he's like, you know, every time he sees something, but, you know, he's somewhat knowledgeable. Read his prospect stuff. You'll enjoy it.
He actually had some of it featured at the NHL draft.
Yes, he did. And he was fully erect. He was very happy that they were on there. And our boss, Mike Kotaks, is like over his head in joy.
Yeah, and speaking of the draft, the Leafs had a decent draft. They got Rasmus Sandin. I thought that was the second best pick available. Everyone was sort of up in arms about it because they didn't take Joe Vedlino.
And I would have took him.
Yeah, I think I would have as well. Now I wouldn't because they have Tavares locked up long term.
Yeah, it's true.
But at the time, I think Vedlino would have been my pick. I think, and people seem to be upset about the Sandin pick. I think it's good. Like I said, I think it was the second best pick available. Sean Durzi is an interesting pick. He was at the Leafs development camp last year.
Yeah, after going undrafted.
Yeah, had a hell of a season. He was over a point per game defenseman. Then, not even going to attempt to say this, SDA. He is the youngest player in the draft. He was under a point per game, but on an awful Peterborough Petes team.
Yep.
Like, to put it, they didn't make the playoffs, and in the playoffs, or in the OHL to not make the playoffs, 16 out of 20 teams make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the rebuilding London Knights made it, and I feel bad saying that because guy you used to go to school with plays on the Peterborough Petes now.
Mm-hmm.
Brady Hinz.
Oh.
He was traded this season from Sarnia to Peterborough. I thought that might help his draft stock if he was going to go there and maybe have a bigger role in the lineup. Only had 14 points in 28 games in Peterborough. Went undrafted this year, unfortunately. But I was fortunate enough to see him while everyone was at the World Junior Development Camp. See him have a 3-point night against the London Knights.
And that's something to see.
Yep, and he had a goal and two assists. And he was playing higher in the lineup than he usually did because Jordan Kyrou was off at Team Canada's development camp.
So he did good for himself then. So it's not bad.
Yeah, that night it was good to see him have a few points. But yeah, went undrafted. Anyways, kind of going off topic. SDA is a pick that a lot of scouts thought was a good pick for them, especially in, I believe, round 3. Yeah. It's just like he's got all the tools. He's just maybe a little small, needs to add a little weight. Yeah, he's only 159 pounds.
That's skinny.
He was on a bad team. Like, I think that's a very good pick for the Leafs. That's a centerman for them. Mac Hollowell, I like the look of. The other defenseman from the Sioux that the Leafs drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Short guy, overager. Had a pretty good season, 56 points in 63 games as a defenseman. Yeah, I'm liking their draft recently. I like how they're going for skill. Size doesn't matter. They're looking at all skill again, like they did in Dubas' first draft in 2015.
And it seems like it turned out well for 2015.
Yeah, and I think, or is going to. They've only had two players from the 2015 draft make the NHL so far.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a few more maybes with them that could make the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Bracco is one of them. Nielsen is one of them. Some of them might not make the NHL on the Leafs, but there's a few players there.
Yeah.
And I think this really spoke to maybe Mark Hunter's drafting style, where in 2016 he went all size. They went all size.
Mm-hmm.
Grundstrom is the only pick there that I'm seeing making the NHL anytime soon after Austin Matthews, obviously.
Yeah.
He's already a superstar.
Yeah, that was already consensus number one pick, so it wasn't even a thought then.
Yeah. It's like people complimenting Chiarelli when he drafted Connor McDavid. It's like, oh, he rebuilt the Oilers in a day. So, yeah, with the biggest slam dunk pick of his career.
Yeah, like you don't even have to think of that. You just go up there, say his name, shake his hand, take a picture.
Yeah, they hired him, I think, a few weeks before the draft. And then if he had not drafted McDavid, I think he should have gotten fired.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's the kind of pick it was.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2017, there were a few good picks, I think, for the Leafs. Timothy Liljegren, obviously.
Yeah.
Emeli Rassinen, I really like.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he pans out for the Leafs. He went exactly like where they thought he would, like late second round. His draft year, he had 39 points in 66 games as a 6'7" defenseman, right-handed defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
That's 226 pounds. That's... He didn't take the step forward people thought he would this year. 33 points in 61 games in Kingston. It makes sense though, because he also moved down the depth charts as soon as they acquired Sean Day.
Yeah.
And I believe he's going back to Finland, so that
might help his development.
Yeah, and those are the only two picks I really liked in 2017 as well. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of either the two drafts that Hunter ran just himself.
Yeah.
He drafted in 2016, you could see their exact draft style. It was draft size.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2017, it was draft positionally, as they drafted four defensemen in only one, two, three, in seven picks.
Yeah.
And I like how in 2018, they went back to drafting skill.
Yeah. You know what? Size is important, but if you have skill and you have hockey IQ and all that, that makes up for not having the size sometimes. At least that's what I've been brought up to know.
So, yeah, I'm liking how he's drafting. I liked how he traded down. Statistically, that's the best way to get players into the NHL, is trading down. And splitting the picks, that gives you the most opportunities to draft someone with that will make the NHL.
Yeah.
And that speaks so much to who Dubas is. He did the exact same thing in 2015 with their first round pick that they acquired in the Nashville trade, I believe it was, for that they sent Franzen and Santarelli. And got back a first and maybe Leipzig, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they traded that. they traded that down again, and they got out of that. They got Dermott and Brocco, and I maybe want to say Dzirkels.
Think you're right,
but two of those, one's already in the NHL. The other is probably going to be one of their best Marlies next year, given the ice time. He was over a point per game in the last stretch in the AHL regular season, and was a regular scratch in the playoffs.
Yeah, which was unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and it's just because they got players back that they didn't have, like Dermott and Johnsson. They got back from the Leafs.
And you obviously have to play those guys.
And it's just about... That's what they do in the AHL. If you're a rookie in the AHL for Sheldon Keefe, you're going to be a healthy scratch sometimes, unless your name was William Nylander.
Yeah.
Which so that makes sense. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think it was a... Don't read too much into that. I don't think that's a big deal, him being scratched in the playoffs.
It's just a case of seniority rules.
Yeah. But I think that the 2015 and 2018 drafts that Dubas has ran I've been the most pleased with in the last 4 years.
Which that speaks volumes.
Yeah, like, so the two that Hunter took over, I don't think it's a big deal that he left. Obviously, you want to keep him. He does know a lot about scouting, and that's apparent. Like, that's not to take away from him, but I think people forget that Dubas was also a scout in the OHL. When he was back when he was 17.
That's impressive.
And yeah, like, the draft was good, free agency was good. It's been a good, very good start to the offseason for the Leafs.
Definitely. Now it's like, when's October gonna start? Come on, three on October.
The only thing is the defensive issues.
Yeah. But
it's still not as big of a deal as people maybe make it out to be. Their left side is still quite good. It's their right side that is absolutely terrible.
Yeah. it's a fine learning.
And I think... Oh, no, I'd like to see Carrick get a little more time, or if he doesn't, I would rather Borgman be up.
Yeah.
Because those are the two sort of fringe defensemen for the Leafs that both play the right side.
Yeah. I don't know. I still would like to make a trade to get, like, a nice right, like, a good right defenseman. Like a guy like a Justin Falk. Take guy.
Justin Falk is the one defenseman I wouldn't take from Carolina, I don't think. I don't know. I really like, and everyone that knows me knows this about me, I love Brett Pesce. He is one of the most underrated defensemen in the league to me. Yeah. His defensive abilities are incredible. It's the same with Jakub Slavin, but he has a little bit more of a name for himself. And they're both on fantastic deals. I'd be hitting up Carolina. I'd be hitting up Minnesota. I'd be hitting up Anaheim, maybe. I think there are a few teams that you could maybe talk to and get a trade. Like, I think Colin Miller now is off the table after his incredible season. That was a name that was tossed out for the Leafs quite a bit before the last season.
Yeah.
but he just went off and had 41 points in 82 games as a quote-unquote defensive defenseman.
Yeah.
So, and he's still young. And so unless you're willing to give up a good piece for either Colin Miller, Nate Schmidt, or Shea Theodore, mm-hmm. I don't think you're getting anyone from Vegas.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, your Tetsky guy, how much would you trade for him?
That's a tough one. I really have no idea, and this is why I'm not a GM.
would you offer a third-round pick for him, or do you think
that's too low? He'll go for more than that. Like, I think the league underrates him. I think Carolina knows what they have with him.
Mm-hmm. So, it's, in other words, he's not going to be a cheat guy. He's not going to be expensive either.
No, and I don't think Carolina would ever get the true value of him. So mm-hmm. I think it's in their best interest to keep him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so those are a few of the teams. Nashville, obviously, always has a good decor. I don't see them moving any of them, though.
Yeah.
Especially now that Ryan Ellis is in extension talks. That was the only one that I could really see because he is so cheap right now.
No kidding.
He's making less than $3 million, so he's in for a big raise.
Yes, he is.
Who's left in free agency? In terms of defense,
not too much.
Yeah, and next year is the whole year of the defenseman in free agency is looking thin now. OEL resigned, Dowdy resigned, McDonough resigned, and. It seems like Ellis is going to re-sign.
I'm with you on that one. There isn't going to be much hit in the market. That's one thing for sure, if you want to look at it that way.
yeah, so these are the current free agents as defensemen. Mm-hmm. Toby Enstrom, Brooks Orpik, Paul Martin, oh god. Jason Garrison, who I think played in the AHL last year because he was on Vegas.
Yeah.
Alexi Emelin, I could see giving a 1-year contract to.
Yeah.
What way does he shoot?
I think he's right-handed.
No, he's left.
He is?
Yeah. Clayton Stoner was on IR all year. Lucas Sabiza, I do not think is that great. Yeah, like,
he's all right. Overrated.
Cody Franzen, maybe.
Yeah, I could see that.
But honestly, that's just another fringe guy, and that's not a problem for the Leafs. They have a lot of 6-7 guys.
They need, like a...
Yeah.
They need, like, a 3-4 type of guy. A guy that can actually make it into the lineup.
Oh, the not-good Justin Falk is a UFA?
Oh, yeah. We could get him on the contract, pull some fans.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think right now we're just going to have to live with our defensive lows until we can make a move.
Yeah, unless you're willing to move, like, your first next year and like I talked about earlier, like, Connor Brown or some prospects or, yeah.
Yeah,
someone that you kind of want to keep. I don't think they will trade Nylander for that.
No, I don't think so.
Like, Chris Tanev was always thrown around, but I think he... And people have always, like, he's undervalued. Mm-hmm. Then everyone was like, Liljegren in a first. And it's like, no.
No.
And I remember seeing the Twitter things. It's like, we'd take Liljegren in a first, and Leafs fans like, we're not doing that. And it's like, oh, look at Leafs fans overvaluing their prospects again. And it's like, no, you're just overvaluing Tanev.
I'm going to say this right now. Tanev, decent, but he's not that good.
Yeah, like, but he was, like, super underrated for quite a while. And, like, analytics, people loved him, but he took a large step back last year and is, like, gets a lot of injuries.
Yeah. Like, I think you give up a second rounder for Tanev, maybe, like, a DC level prospect. I think that's a fair deal.
Like, that. I could see doing just a first. Like, the Leafs first is not going to be high next year.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
And, yeah, because I know a lot of people I follow on Twitter were super high on Tanev. It's like, he is actually quite good. And now they're just kind of like, maybe stay away.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I rather, you know, just not give up what Vancouver wants for him. I just don't think they're going to get. But we'll see.
Yeah.
It's an interesting situation. It's a storyline to launch, like what the Leafs do, if they do anything.
Yeah, at this point, I think you just go into it, tough it out, hope Zaitsev gets better, and just score a shit ton of goals.
Yeah, and that's why we got to there in the first place.
Yeah, just because... Yeah, it's going to be a fun season to watch.
Oh, yeah, I am so excited. And the nice thing about next season is we will keep this podcast going at a consistent, like, not like every now and then. Like, we're going to keep it going.
Yeah. And then, we should be getting another one up next week sometime as soon as I figure out what my work schedule is.
We just want you guys to keep listening, and we're very appreciative of you guys listening. We've been doing quite well with our past couple of podcasts, and this is our third one, and thank you for listening, I guess.
And giving a little shout out again to Hockeywood Novel. $1 of every sales goes towards ending brain cancer. So you get a good book out of it, and also get to donate some money to. Check it out if you can. And it's a great cause to help out.
Help people out. It's brain cancer research in Seattle, too, which it has one of the better institutions. I did some research, and you never know. Every little donation helps, and honestly, this book is good. I'm not going to give anything away about it because I want you to read it. The link will be in our article. You'll be able to find it. Pretty soon, we will be interviewing the author. We were supposed to do it a little bit earlier, but, you know, life got tricky for both Oscar and I, and, you know.
Yeah.
So, we're working.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Shit. And we're working on health and getting them on and stuff like that. We're thinking about doing a podcast where we just dedicate it to books and talk about hockey books that we're reading, and then he'll do an interview, because like it's gonna kind of dry down after today, so like in terms of like, you know, contract talks, this and that, maybe something happens, maybe something doesn't, but this will give us a reason to keep continuing the podcast.
Yep, and we'll get back in touch with the author of the novel and hopefully have him on the podcast, like Christian said, and just talk about the book a little bit. And you guys can purchase it. I believe it is an ebook, as well as
You can get
I don't know if it's if there's hard copies available, but
Last time I checked, there was.
Okay, yeah, and but typically is what we've been given is the ebook version of it, so that's just been the it's available in paperback and digital editions.
Yeah, it's very well written. I will not lie to you on that. It's a different style, and honestly, I think, you know, we'll interview this guy. I think he's thinking about writing another book. That's something I want to know, because it feels like the way the story ends that I could use another book to the series, if you know what I'm saying. Just to explore different plot narratives. Obviously, you haven't read it yet, so you better go and read it now if you have a chance.
All right. I think that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening.
You're tuned in to Last Word Radio. Last word on sports.com. And that is the last word.